In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is in our midst. So, who wrote today's gospel that we... Matthew, very good. So today, today's gospel is very beautiful. I always look forward to it. It's the gospel of the genealogy. And it's kind of odd that that is such an important reading, really. And it's the reading that we give right before Christmas. Now, if someone was to say to you, who didn't know anything about Jesus, who didn't know who Christ was, tell me this story, tell me about Christ. Probably not one in a thousand might tell the story the way Matthew chose to tell the story. Now, the very beginning of Matthew's gospel is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The word genealogy in the Greek could also mean the beginning of the story. So this genealogy, this is the beginning of the story, and then he starts with Abraham, and he goes down to all of these names, which is an interesting way that we're going to start to tell who this Jesus is. This is the story of Jesus, and this is how he begins. Not only is this the beginning of Matthew's gospel, but the church chose to put this gospel the first of all the gospels, because the order of the gospels goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Matthew's gospel is the first. It's the first place where we start hearing the story of Jesus. And how do we hear the story of Jesus? Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And so on. And it goes down. And I remember when I was first a priest, when I was a new priest, maybe when I was here, I was nervous of reading this gospel because there's all those names in it, you know. But now it's just a pleasure. It's a glory because I get to think of these people. Think of this story. Jesus isn't a story by himself. Jesus doesn't come out of a vacuum. We have this whole genealogy that we look at. Now, I'd like to mention three parts of the genealogy because the genealogy is broken up into three parts. The first part would be the patriarchs. The second part would be the kings. And the third part would be the rest of the people. And so this is how it's broken up in the reading. So you have the patriarchs all the way to the first kings. And it'll say there were 14 generations. And then all the kings until the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. So there's a separation there. And then the rest of the people to Joseph. So looking at the patriarchs, and Matthew traces it through Abraham. He doesn't go all the way back to Adam. He goes to Abraham. In Luke's gospel, he gives a genealogy. He goes all the way back to Adam. But Matthew goes to Abraham. And Abraham, as you probably remember, was the father of Isaac. But not only of Isaac. Before Isaac, there was Ishmael. But the story doesn't trace itself of Jesus, doesn't trace itself through Ishmael. It traces itself through Isaac. Now, if you're thinking of this story, if you were to make a mini-series, you know, sometimes they have these mini-series that go through, like, generations, like The Crown, some PBS masterpiece theater thing, and it goes over generations, and you were trying to think of a good story, who would Jesus come from? Well, Ishmael is kind of the more abused character of the two, Isaac and Ishmael. But the genealogy continues, the story continues through Isaac. Isaac has two children, if you remember, Jacob and Esau. Esau was, in a way, the more innocent one. He was maybe rougher in some place, not as swift. But Jacob was kind of, he manipulated things around to get his way, and so he could even get the birthright. And poor Esau, this innocent one, he lost his birthright. Jesus comes through not the innocent one, but through the conniving one, Jacob. Then Jacob has all the children. He's got, in addition to daughters, he has the 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Jacob. And the 12 brothers, we remember mostly Joseph of these brothers. Joseph who really is kind of symbolic of Jesus. He's this innocent one. He goes to Egypt after his brothers try to kill him, and then he becomes a great man after being in Egypt, and he resists temptations, and he stays faithful to the Lord. But the Lord's story doesn't come through Joseph. It comes through Judah. Judah is the one who sold his brother into slavery and went around with prostitutes and had a life that wasn't very honorable. This is the Judah that this story of Jesus traces through. And then we get down towards the king. So far in this story, I think we can notice that God doesn't always choose the most noble, the most righteous characters for the story that's going to be his story. Let's get to the kings now. Okay, we've gone through the patriarchs, and now we're getting to David. This may be a high point in, maybe things are going to turn around and things will be much better. So we have 14 kings listed. The 14 kings listed between David and the deportation to Babylon, because at the end, Nebuchadnezzar and his crew takes the people of Israel over to Babylon. Of the 14 kings, only two of them, mentioned in the scriptures, are what we would call faithful. Josiah and Hezekiah. I had a beautiful year this past year, and you can participate in it as well, reading through the whole scriptures and recording it. And it's a podcast now. At the moment, there's 363 episodes. And so Monday, I'll do 364 and 365. That adds up to a whole year. And we're breaking up the whole Bible into a year. So I've been reading throughout this whole year on all this, all the patriarchs and all these kings. And it's amazing how rotten most of these kings are. I mean, they're incredible. They do all these things. And at the end of each of their life, the Lord says, the end of their story says, and they were not faithful before God. So a couple of them were, Hezekiah and Josiah, but most of them were not. Most of them are an odd assortment of power seekers, philanderers, murderers, and other idolaters and incompetent people. And this is who the Lord traces his genealogy through. So now they get deported to Babylon. And of the people that are left in this story, outside of the first two, Shealtiel and Zerubbabel, and the last two, Joseph and Mary, none of the rest are even mentioned any place in the Bible. We don't know anything about them. They are simply unknown people. It's kind of interesting if you think of it. The most powerful people, the kings, where do they get things going to? To deportation to Babylon. And it's these unknown people that bring us to Jesus Christ. So the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus is traced through the most righteous, the most famous people. The powerful people, the well-known people, sometimes aren't the best or aren't chosen for the story. This is the beginning of the story, as Matthew mentions the genealogy or the beginning of the story of Jesus Christ. So if this beginnings of the story has a mixture, we'll call it a mixture of sinners and saints, I think the sequence also has a mixture of sinners and saints. The beginning of the story up to Jesus, then the sequence is after the story. The sequence, we're part of the sequence. The sequence of the story, what comes after? You have Peter who denied Christ. You have Paul who persecuted the church and persecuted Christ. Throughout all of history, you have this mixture of saints and sinners. God seemed to write the story of his life and of salvation history leading up to Jesus in not straight lines, but crooked lines. And some of our, if we look at our own life, our life at times isn't as straight as it could be. Our life might be crooked lines as well. So this genealogy that Matthew puts at the very beginning and the church puts Matthew at the very beginning, this genealogy is very important. It teaches us that God doesn't always use the most pure, the most righteous, the straightest to carry his message. He uses saints, but he also uses sinners. It's true with the beginning. It's also true with the sequence. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Jesse was the father of David, the king. In that third group, Akim was the father of Eliud. We don't even know who they are. Unknown people, yet they were central in the message of Jesus Christ. Peter and Paul is called by Jesus. Paul calls Timothy. Someone called you. And you are to call someone else. That's how the sequence continues. God will use us. We don't have to be perfect. Our life doesn't have to be a straight line. He calls us in that direction. But he uses us if we desire to be used. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is in our midst.